Brad Cook is an insider. He's CEO of Endeavor Silver. I'm glad he's with us right now. Brad, at least it's a more cheerful conversation for me at this point.
Well, certainly the precious metals are getting more precious.
Yes, that's right. Can you start? So, you know, we're going to go through the break and everything here, but I want to just start with an overview and maybe give me a quick take on silver and maybe precious metals.
Yeah, I like to start with gold because wherever gold goes, silver ultimately follows. But the relationship between silver and gold isn't one-to-one. Gold is basically money and nothing. But silver, more and more in recent decades, has emerged as a strategic industrial metal. So it only rediscovers its precious nature when investors feel the price of gold has been up too high, and they come to silver.
Well, and when I look out there, obviously, you know, silver got sucked down in the, you know, in the downdraft, has now recovered significantly. But I want to ask now, from the company point of view, from this type of the investor point of view, I know that Endeavor, for example, is in Mexico. So your costs must be, relatively speaking, going down because the peso has fallen more than the Canuck buck.
We're a gold-silver producer. Yeah. And, of course, the gold price has outperformed the silver price year to date. So we're doing better on the gold than the silver. But silver will play catch-up on the peso. It's gone from 19 to the dollar, U.S. dollar, to around 24, which is 25% depreciation, basically since the beginning of the year. Only about a third of our costs, though, are peso-denominated costs. So the net is about 8% benefit. Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, the positive that way. The other thing that, of course, people always want to know, though, is stability and things like that. When I look at any company, I want to know where its mines are. I want to know, is that a stable political environment? How would you rate Mexico in that regard?
Oh, boy. It used to be tick every box. Of course, we're going back 15 years. Nowadays, it's kind of a 50-50 proposition. It's still got some of the best discovery potential in the world. It's close to home. It's got a decent democratic system. But, of course, the rising political and social risks in recent years and financial risks with the last administration raising taxes makes it pretty much on par with the rest of Latin America, I would say.
When you're out there and talking to people, and you'll talk, of course, to professionals, you'll talk to people in the financing business, that kind of thing, what's the shift been over the last, say, five, you know, compared to, say, 4 or 5 years ago when you come in and say, hey, I'm with Endeavor Silver? I'm talking about their attitude toward silver and the precious metals.
Good question. There's a real hardcore precious metal investor in Europe because gold never left the portfolio, not mm-hmm. since World War II. So about 15-20% of our shares are held in Europe, just you know, that's part of their portfolio. I think what's come ebbed and flowed is believe it or not, the institutional investor, which you know, actively managed precious metal funds have just about disappeared from the face of the planet. Toronto's been devastated. New York's been devastated from the resource point of view, and they've been replaced by passive investing, ETF investing, index investing. I've seen estimates anywhere up to 40% of institutional money is now passive, maybe even total money. And so what does that mean for us? It means that they're the biggest shareholders of the company. We can't talk to them. They don't care. Yeah. And so we just focus our energies on the people who do care. And that's the bigger retail, what we would call family office or wealth management, which is still a very big thing again in Europe and pockets throughout Canada and the States.
Brad, let's talk a little bit more about when you look at what are some of the boxes you do check off. If people are here, and I think there is an interest, if judging by the kind of inbox I have, talking about what are you looking for if you're looking for both a junior or a senior producer in the precious metals?
Michael, I think at times like this, investors typically go to the physical metal or ETFs first, and then the major, for instance, gold producers. So if you look at the year-to-date performance, gold itself, the major gold producers are all basically broken out, whereas the small and mid-tier producers have not. They've moved up, but they haven't broken out above their highs from February yet. So from a strict value point of view, you know, going to the mid-tier sector next would be the logical thing to do. And of course, then you have a number of companies to choose from, and you're looking for management, you're looking for robust economics, et cetera. And of course, as we move on down the cycle, then you could start looking at the smaller and smaller companies. But I think next up would be the mid-tiers, like Endeavor.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell me how COVID's impacted Endeavor Silver.
We had our board meeting at the end of February and decided that even though it was still early days and the market had literally just tipped over the day or two before our board meeting, we decided that it was time to create very quickly a COVID-19 plan, both a prevention plan and a response plan, just in case it arrived at any of our mine sites in Mexico.
Yes.
And I was a bit frustrated. We were moving more slowly than I wanted in the management group. And then finally, around mid-March, we reached an agreement. And all of a sudden, literally within a day, we had what we thought was our first case. And so we swung into action. I'm very proud of our guys, actually. We had our executive team here, our executive team in Mexico. And at each site, we had all of our medical staff. So our plan swung into action. We isolated, we sterilized, only to find out that the first and only three possible incidents were all false alarms. So we've now had a full month or more with no positive cases, thank goodness. But we know our system works, our plan works. So that's what we did to protect our people.
And was were the mine sites able to continue to operate through this last month?
We were tiptoeing through March because we felt that Mexico was 2 to 3 weeks behind America. And as soon as they hit the steep part of the curve, then the likelihood would be possible government intervention. And to be honest, the Mexican government was very slow off the mark. And they went basically from zero to shutting down non-essential businesses, declared a national emergency on March 31st. So we suspended operations on April 1st. And just yesterday or the day before, we saw from the government the first indication that they're expecting their peak virus in kind of early mid-May, May 8th, May 10th. And the president therefore announced that he didn't see any relaxation until May 31st at the earliest, with one exception, that municipalities with no known cases, typically rural, typically mining, would actually be able to restart May 17th. So right now we're under the assumption that we're looking at a restart in about a month.
As I say, what a challenging time. When you look forward, though, let's go past this, bridge this a little bit. We're hearing a lot of talk, actually, about the peak coming in that sort of broad time frame, or at least I don't know how hopeful it is, how based on science it is. Does it have aspects of a seasonal flu, that kind of thing? But let's go by that just for a second. And what's your anticipation about the pickup for demand? As you say, silver's got a more industrial component to it, used in so many operations and materials, that kind of thing. What's your sort of anticipation? Do you think it'll be a slow ramp up and sort of just mirror the ramp up back up of the economy, or is there any other factors you're concerned with?
Well, I think silver not only is more volatile than gold in the market, the reaction to supply and demand is also going to be quite volatile, more so than gold. The reason is that the very quick shutdown of the global economy basically shut down demand for silver, but mines kept on producing. So we saw inventories rise through much of March. Mm-hmm. And only in recent weeks have we seen most of Latin America shut the mines down. So what that means is that we saw the price crash. It hasn't rebounded at the same pace as gold. And that's, I think, partly a function of the excess supply and lack of demand. But as manufacturing comes back on, as it is now in China, then you've got a slow ramp up of demand. And we've had a spike down of supply, with the amount of silver on the sidelines variously estimated by Canadian banks to be between 20 and 30% of global supply annualized, currently suspended. Now, it may only be a month, but that month is over 100 million ounces. And so I think that's the lumpiness of the supply-demand curve related to COVID-19. The price will bounce back after we see demand rise and we get through the inventories.
Well, I'm sure it's been a very stressful time, unprecedented time in operating a company like Endeavor Silver, as many others throughout the economy. But Brad, I really appreciate you finding time to share it with us.
Thanks, Michael.